Hey, Jamie.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
So good, good, good.
You sound confident in that good.
I'm not going to get into it.
Well, I mean, that's the entire point
Politics
of
and
this.
stuff.
Oh,
Well,
gotcha. Yeah, never mind. Leave that at home.
okay.
But how were your last 2 weeks?
Not as productive as I'd like, to be honest. They're productive. It's just I was stuck, and it's not like I wasn't doing anything. It was just didn't get as far as I wanted.
So just as a recap, you were working on finishing conversations, and then that was going to lead you to being able to slowly like integrate more people to using callback inside of Tatsu, right?
Kind of. Those really weren't related. So I did. Okay. So let's go over the things I did do that were good. I did get Tatsu to use callback for several different customers
Cool.
inside Tatsu. So that's kind of like it was like a feature flipped thing for turned on for a few teams. And that's working. It's working great. It's running just like as it was before. Customers don't know the difference. I did run into one little issue. Actually, I'd like to get your opinion on
Okay.
if we can get technical for a sec. So, the situation I have is all these customers, right? I have whatever amount of customers, and each customer has or can have a scheduled thing for a certain room. So they can have a scheduled stand-up for a certain room. So each room can have its own stand-up schedule. And so if you think of it as kind of a multi-tenancy thing, each room ID can have its own schedule. So as a if callback customer, I have my own account ID, right? And then in each and under there I can have multiple different jobs to be run. And so the way I was doing it was I have a job called scheduled stand-up, and then a payload of this room ID and this room ID. The problem is with the API is that it's unique based on job name, whereas it should be unique based on job name and the payload of room ID.
Gotcha.
Right. So it's not that way now. And so the way I went around that is the name of the job. I just tacked on the room ID, so it's like underscore room ID.
Okay.
And I imagine all customers are going to be like this, right? You're going to have a job that you're going to run want to run for different users or different tenants of some sort. And so I could differentiate it by the payload, but then my API gets a little bit hairy where if the payload changes, I need to kind of treat that as a unique job. And so you can't do things like do a post that is supposed to create or update a job, which we talked about last week. Because you don't know if you're updating the payload or if this is truly a new unique job. Because I don't want customers to have to hold on to that job ID on their system and then call an update. Although they could, I just don't. I want this to be as simple as possible. So I was thinking about adding another layer to jobs that's optional that basically has like a tenant ID. And then that is treated as a unique thing in the job world.
Okay. Yeah, I mean that makes sense. And it's really this is a problem that you're going to run into, but I'm kind of curious how many of like callbacks eventual customers are going to run into this issue, you know?
I think it's going to be a lot because you don't really run, I mean, maybe you do. Maybe you run a job for everybody in or a certain segment of people. But if you run a job for a certain segment of people, then you want to have those segments split up. So when you create your job, the payloads are going to be different. So
Oh man, I think the majority of your customers that you're eventually going to have with this thing are going to be like, okay, I need to remember to, I've been working with Let's Encrypt a bunch lately, so I'm going to use this as my example. But with Let's Encrypt, you have to renew your certs every 3 months. So you're going to get these things where it's like, okay, I need to renew my certificate. They're going to, every 3 months. So they're going to, you know, set up a job that's like every 3 months, hit this URL with this particular payload and bingo. And then they're just going to like set it and forget it. Like that's their, they're going to have a lot of jobs where it's like, I need to run this daily, go.
Sure.
They won't change it super often. And then you'll get the other ones where it's like, if they use it for more periodic things where it's like, ad hoc as a thing they might set up, they could do it that way. But I do guess I see where it could be one of those things where, say, you had somebody like a this would be crazy for you if somebody ever did this, but like an email service provider was like, oh, okay, somebody's running a job and they want to you know, segment their email list to this portion of people and then have a special blast that goes out to them as a thing. Then maybe in that case it would be like that, would that special portioning is the part. You could honestly probably charge more for that if you wanted, like be like, oh, you want a multi-tenant job, so then, you know, that's a different tier as a thing.
Interesting. I like that idea. But I kind of see, like, if I add like this other layer of tenancy, it's, it kind of like invalidates the payload a little bit. So the other option would be to keep it as it is, keep the API the same as it is, but on a post be able to say update, you know, update any existing jobs with this payload. There's a lot of, you know, without getting in digging in the weeds, there's a lot of a lot of ins, a lot of outs, a lot of what have yous, as Big Lebowski would say. But I'll give an update about this next week. It's I just haven't really had time to think about it. Basically, what I did was, since my objective was to get this out and get this running and make sure it's running, that's actually firing off jobs the way I want it to, you know, I kind of just ad hoc'd it together with the name. So... I'll provide an update later or next time we talk, but I'll be able to figure out that by then. And then the other thing I did, concerns with callback, is I got a designer on board, so we're going to have to provide him with some ideas and some low fidelity mock-ups as far as like what the dashboard's going to look like and things like that, like what data we're going to collect and things like that. So that's kind of exciting. They're basically, I'm going to pay them later, as callback makes money, so I don't really have to pay up front, because if I did have to do that, I'd probably just do the design myself, and it's not going to be as good as if they would do it. So
okay, so you got a designer on with like equity as a thing?
Not really equity, just kind of delayed pay.
Oh, so you're like, okay, once this thing's out to market, I will pay you such and such amount of money as it's made.
Exactly, exactly. Whether callback makes that much money or not, it's kind of a risk I'm taking, but at least, you know, they've agreed to kind of do that, which is cool. And then, so the second thing, so since we started this podcast, which was like, I don't know, 10 weeks ago,
yeah, it was a while back. It was like in November, early November. It was before Thanksgiving. I know that
episode
much.
Episode one, I said, I'm going to get conversations working. And here we are 10 weeks later, and those still aren't done. Basically, I started over again.
Again?
Yeah. I ran into some other issues with just the architecture in general, and... I realized that I need to have some sort of background thread thing going on with probably some event machine stuff, so it holds on to where it currently is in the conversation piece. And in order to do that, it needs to have a running state. Whereas before, it was kind of stored in memory, and then that memory would be lost on the next request. Therefore, starting the conversation over again. So I decided to kind of rethink about what I'm doing. I also decided to determine that I'm not going to be able to store these things in anything but memory for now. Although I may later, you'll be able to add on additional storage options. It's just that's going to be a lot of work because I basically have to make a serializable proc, which is not easy. So yes, I've gotten farther, and I think this is going to actually work, but we'll see. So that's my goal again for the next 2 weeks. This is a hard problem to solve, man. I think this is why nobody has solved this problem.
So I feel like we need to pair on this at some point. Just sit down and pair.
I'd be awesome with that. I'm also actually submitting this as a talk to, or I did submit this as a talk to RailsConf. Just kind of going, basically I want to chronicle everything that I've done and kind of what worked, what didn't work, and ultimately what ended up working, which I'm not to that point yet, but I will be by RailsConf. So hopefully that gets accepted, but that's kind of another side thing I did to this conversation piece.
That's a cool talk idea, though. Like, those are the best sort of talks is when it's like, here's my experience with this thing. It's not me trying to peddle my stuff to you. It's like, it's not like, I built this gem. You should totally use it. It's awesome. It's like, holy crap, programming is hard.
Yeah.
Here's some stuff I ran into.
Those are the talks I like, too, the experience talks about, mm-hmm. like, you know, how I got to this point or how I got to... I went to a really cool talk at CodeMash. It was called The Birth of a Language. It was about Elixir. And he went through the first like five commits by Jose for Elixir and like what he thought he was thinking,
mm-hmm.
and basically how he got like, you know, 1+1 to work on top of the Erlang VM inside his Elixir language and kind of showed how it started taking shape. So that was like my favorite talk at CodeMash. And so I kind of like those kind of talks about, you know, what people were thinking at a given point in their open source projects, whether open source or not, but you know.
Yeah, I can tell that talk left a mark on you because this is the second episode in a row that you brought it up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you talked about it last time too. I'm gonna have to go watch it now, though.
It did. You mentioned it twice.
I don't know if it was recorded,
but anyway.
Oh, that's thanks.
Cool. Yeah, so that's been my last 2 weeks, so not really as productive as I wanted, but I feel like I'm really, I know I said this before, but I'm really at the breakthrough part of this conversation piece. I am actually going to, if I do not get this to work in a week, I'm going to kind of just bail on it and not introduce callbacks, conversations into this and kind of work our way around conversational UI in the feature that I really want to implement anyway. So
okay,
that's where I am at.
So what is your goal for the next 2 weeks?
Conversations, man. Conversations. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to work on until I get those complete. I'm going to cancel the next podcast. Just joking. But
if you don't get them done, you're going to cancel.
Yeah, no, that's my sole goal is to work on that.
All right. Well, how about you? Okay. So for me, going back over what I was going to do over the last 2 weeks, I was planning on doing some planning, oddly enough, for the upcoming months. And then working on my sales funnel a little bit just to try to bring people into my course. And I drove some ads to my paid for course and got literally no hits. So that, I mean, I got people to like that went to the site and like the bounce rate wasn't even that high, but like nobody pulled the trigger off of it. So that told me that's,
You didn't get any conversions.
Yeah, not on that. So that tells me that my sales copy is bad. or that I built something that no one wants. And I don't think it's that one. But, mm-hmm. yeah, so I'm going to need to go back and revise it, kind of clean some stuff up, add some more kind of salesmanship to it a little bit, and really, you know, like plead to, like, this is why you need this thing. So that those were things that I had planned on doing. Didn't actually get super far in them. I did get a couple, like, yeah, a couple more sales. Actually, I got my first two sales of my course between last time and this time.
We gotta celebrate that, man.
Yeah, so that was cool. Like, that's I'm totally happy with that, and that shows me that, like, okay, somebody at least purchased this. And I'm kind of wondering if I didn't is because it's like in sort of like a pre-release state, like the testing and deployment parts aren't done yet. If that's a thing that's deterring people, so I sent out a coupon to my mailing list the day that it launched. And then got nothing for like a week. And then I got my first sale from said mailing list thing. And then I got another one yesterday after I had sent another email saying, like, hey, guys, just a reminder, this coupon expires on the 1st of February. So if you're going to use it, you're going to have to buy by then. But I was very, like, not salesman-y in that one. It was kind of just a weekly update. And I had a PS down there like, oh, yeah, don't forget to do this thing. So I'm going to send out another one the day before it expires. And be like, hey, you know, this one would be a very focused, like, this is the last day to get this deal. If you are interested in this kind of thing and aren't going to actually buy, I would really love to hear from you so I can figure out why, like, what did I do wrong as a thing? So that's my goal for a thing that I'm going to do here today, actually, is like get that set up so it can go and be sent out. I'm going to be in Colorado this week, so I have to kind of like automate all this stuff while I'm gone.
So I have a few questions. Your landing page, does it have a way for people to play like a 1 minute portion of your videos?
So right now, no, there is no, like, I can mark a video as like, oh, this is a free preview kind of thing. And I can mm-hmm. also create a preview that is like a teaser video that I have not done yet.
I would highly recommend that. I think that's why you don't get a lot of conversions, because people come to this, they have no idea what the style is.
Oh, okay.
They're probably not going to read what the content is, but they want to know that, hey, I can, you know, I like, you know, I can imagine myself learning from this individual, because they don't really have any idea of who they're buying from. So I would highly recommend that. I bet you that will improve conversions. Okay. And the other thing is, have you talked to the people or person that bought your course and why, and asked them why they bought that? Or
so that's actually one thing I do want to do. There's a guy. So I've the two purchaser I had purchasers that I have, one of them I actually know, like, personally. So he just happened to, like, he's on my mailing list, he purchased it, so I want to talk to him for sure, because I really like his advice, trust him as a person, and I want to know if he, like, bought it because he's like, oh, I trust Keith to do a good job on this, or if there was, like, something about it that attracted him to him, or, like, if he even enjoys it as a thing, because that sort of feedback would be really good. I know you got a lot out of it, and I hope he does too. The other dude is a guy from Brazil that I actually want to reach out to after I see that he's done a few lectures. Mm-hmm. Just to mm-hmm. see kind of what, like, prompted him. So I'm thinking about sending him an email sometime soon.
Yeah, that's the other thing I've learned is, like, talk to your customers. Talk to the people that bought it, and then if you can somehow talk to the people that didn't buy it. So I don't know if you can capture email addresses. You know, like, they come to your course and maybe offer them a 5% discount if they provide their email address mm-hmm. As, like, a pop-up teaser thing. You have to talk to your customers in order to not sit there and think about why somebody canceled or why somebody didn't sign up. That's one thing I've learned, is always talk to your customers.
Yeah, and that, looking back at when I was working with you on Tatsu, like, all the customer feedback was great. Like, you know, even though most of the time I was like, oh, such and such, like, this button's broken, that kind of thing. Like, right. It got the conversation started. We can kind of talk to them, and they'd be like, oh, I really love this. Thanks for helping me through the problem. It would be really cool if I saw such and such. And yeah, that sort of feedback was really helpful. And it turns out like people aren't as mean as everyone imagines them to be as a thing. So that's also kind of nice.
And that's how we determined what the features were to work on next, is just always talking to customers. Things would come up and the same thing would be said over and over and over. So that's where I'm at right now, actually, with Tattoo too, is like, this is the feature I know people want and this is why I'm working on it. So always talk to customers.
Yeah, so that kind of rolls into my other thing. So my other goal for last week was to do some like more planning and stuff. A little bit of that was inspired by a book called The Four Disciplines of Execution. And I had this idea of like, okay, I need to have like better kind of defined goals to sort of benchmark myself against, and then find some way to like basically hold myself accountable to working diligently on Coder Journey stuff and, you know, keep it moving. Don't just like do the bare minimum thing that I need in order to get by. So that sort of fell to the wayside because I took those ideas and I was like, okay, Coder Journey is a little weird for me to implement this on right now as like my first thing, because it's very much an informational thing. It's not like I don't have defined tasks a lot of times. It's really like doing the business thing, but let me try this somewhere I know. So I took that and I actually used it in my day job as like, I'm going to work this into how I'm leading my team at work. And that's actually worked out really great. So over the next 2 weeks, I kind of want to reach out to customers a lot, kind of get feedback on what to do next. I also happen to be in between a series in Coder Journey. Like I'm finishing off the last Intro to Rails episode that I'm going to be doing today. And then I will be moving on to something else. So I want to like get some feedback, like where should I go next as a thing. And right now the lead thing is Vue.js, is like some people want to see some more like front end stuff. So that's the most I've gotten. I've gotten one guy who wanted Kubernetes, so like that's more Docker and ops related stuff, orchestration and whatnot. But yeah, I need to get more responses from people, because otherwise I'm like, oh, now I'm just gonna flounder and have a hard time figuring out what I want to do, or I'm gonna go off on some really weird thing and teach people Haskell or something.
Yeah. Have you thought about putting in terms of programming languages, obviously the top one is probably JavaScript. Even if you don't get responses, you could also look at like what most people want to see.
Yeah.
And kind of just go down that road. I think Rails would be up there too.
I've gotten some good feedback on the Rails content. It's a little bit like, it's kind of funny because a lot of the episodes are still just like Docker related things. It's like, okay, let me teach you how to deploy this, but I'm going to teach you how to deploy it with Docker. So those are a little bit skewed, but I do, yeah, I've gotten a lot of feedback on it, but I'm, I don't know, maybe I'll do an advanced Rails thing at some point, but we'll see if that's something anybody's interested in, or if they just want to kind of hit the ground running, at which point my like 10 episode series is more than enough for them to kind of do that.
Right.
But yeah, so over the next 2 weeks, I'm actually going to be, this next week is, I'm going to be in Colorado learning how to snowboard. So I'm not going to get much done during that.
But so is that vacation or is that business?
Yeah, it's just a vacation. I'm going on a trip with my father-in-law and then some couple friends. But he really wanted to ski, and my mother-in-law can't ski anymore. So I was like, oh, I can go.
Nice.
And so that should be a good time. And then next weekend I'll be back and want to get to work on some things. And then it's my birthday, so I have next Monday off. Or the Monday after this coming Monday. So.
Well, happy birthday, man.
Thanks.
Okay, cool. So you're going to get the Docker course finished up, right?
Yes. So that's in my next 2 weeks, is I want to finish off what's left of the thing. That's not going to be done before I leave for Colorado, but I'm going to do it afterwards, and probably a lot of it in my day off when I'm at home for my birthday. But I need to finish the Docker course. And then really over the next 2 weeks, I want to kind of get to know my customers better and help them help me plan where I'm going to go.
Nice. Sounds good, man. And I will have conversations done.
Sweet.
Or blown up.
Or just, bailed on it.
Yeah.
Man, I really want to see you get those finished. So if you get to the point where you're like, oh, I'm just about done with this, just reach out. And we should just remote pair on it sometime.
Cool. Sounds good.
All right, dude. Thanks, well, Keith. I will talk to you in 2 weeks.
Let's talk to you then, man.